Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with American-style football. And let's give a super Sunny Side of Sports salute to the Kansas City Chiefs, who charged back with 3 fourth quarter touchdowns to beat the San Francisco 49ers and win their first Super Bowl trophy in 50 years. The AP's Wayne Roustan reports from Miami, Florida.
It only took 50 seasons for the Chiefs to win another Super Bowl, and they did it, beating the 49ers 31-20. It was head coach Andy Reid's 222nd career win.
It's phenomenal. I'm not sure it's all sunk in, but it's awesome right now, yeah.
Quarterback Pat Mahomes was the most valuable player. He completed 26 of 42 pass attempts for 286 yards, including 2 touchdown passes to Travis Kelce and Damian Williams in the comeback fourth quarter. And he rushed for one himself.
I just went out there and kept competing. I knew we weren't in the ideal situation, but I believed in my defense to get stops, and they did. And then the guys kept believing in me and started making plays downfield, and we found a way to win.
It was the third time in 3 straight playoff games that Kansas City overcame a double-digit deficit to win. Wayne Roustan, Miami.
Thanks, Wayne. Super Bowl MVP Patrick Mahomes says it's a super feeling to win the big game.
It's amazing. It really is. I mean, you dream about this stuff when you're a little kid, and I just try to go out there and be the best person I can be every single day.
Let's give another Sunny Side of Sports salute to Novak Djokovic and Sofia Kenin, who won the men's and women's singles titles over the weekend at the Australian Open Tennis Tournament. Craig Gabriel reports from Melbourne, Australia.
In a minute under 4 hours, Novak Djokovic became the Australian Open champion again. He's done it for the 8th time. Incredibly, he maintains a perfect record in finals at the Rod Laver Arena. He's undefeated in finals at this venue. Djokovic stopped a courageous Dominic Thiem in the Austrians' first final here, 6-4, 4-6, 2-6, 6-3, 6-4. The final was a bit of a roller coaster as the momentum fluctuated. In the second set, Djokovic was all over the place with his mental side of his game. He was given 2 time warnings, and that riled him up, so much so that when returning to his courtside bench, he tapped the chair umpire's shoe and made some sarcastic remarks. It's a surprise that he wasn't given a further warning for that. Thiem took advantage of the situation, but the Austrian played a poor fourth set when he should have really been stepping on the gas pedal.
What happened tonight, I mean, if I could say anything, I would just say that maybe I could have converted the break point in the fourth set where I could have the lead 2-1, but then I think he had some issues in the second set. He recovered very well. He played really good after in set 3 and 4, and of course there were some small mistakes here and there, but they are happening, and at the end was a super close 5-setter, and I don't really regret anything.
It allowed Djokovic the opening to forge back, which he obviously did. Early in the 5th, he broke serve and kept that advantage till a return from Thiem went out on championship point and the final was done. The win is Djokovic's 17th major, putting him just 2 behind Rafa Nadal and 3 behind Roger Federer's record for the most majors.
Of course, I am grateful to have an opportunity to win another Australian Open trophy. Obviously, at this stage of my career, Grand Slams are the ones that I value the most. They are the ones that I prioritize. Before the season starts, I try to set my form, shape for these events where I can be at my prime tennis and mental and physical abilities.
And it's his 78th career title, and he also returns to the world number one ranking. Djokovic's healthy bank balance, which is over $140 million, has been boosted by another $2.7 million+. He has also become just the second man in history to have won majors across 3 decades. The only other one to achieve that was the Aussie immortal Ken Rosewall in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Tenacity, feistiness, grit, words that encapsulate Sofia Kenin.
I've always had that. I knew I needed to establish myself to get to where I am. And, you know, all the confidence has come with all the matches that I've had, the success I've had in 2019. WTA Most Improved Player of the Year. So, yeah, I've always had that. Match play has really helped me. And All the confidence that I'm getting is because of that, and I see that things are happening for me and everything is just falling into place.
This 21-year-old just doesn't give in. She's a reminder of the great Monica Seles with the mental approach to her game. In just over 2 hours, she defeated Garbine Muguruza, coming back from a set down to win 4-6, 6-2, 6-2.
All of this, honestly, these past 2 weeks have been a lot of emotions, you guys could see after the match how much it all meant to me. This is just such an honor. I'm so proud of myself, so proud of my dad, my team, everyone has been around me. We worked all hard, we've been through tough times, but you know what, we did it, we fought, and yeah, I'm like on cloud nine right now.
It makes her the youngest winner here since another Russian-born woman won in 2008. That player was Maria Sharapova. After losing the first set, Kenin didn't withdraw. Instead, she got more aggressive and pounced on the Spaniard's slight lapse. Muguruza had a huge chance in the fifth game of the final set when she had Kenin at love 40. But when the American held serve, Muguruza began to crumble.
I think I had to play better today because she came up with a great level, and I think that in the important moments, I didn't find my shot. I think she found her shot, I didn't find my shots. And I did feel a little bit of lack of energy after so many matches, and physically was a tough battle out there. So, you know, it's just a tough moment. Right now, it's tough to be happy, although it has been an incredible tournament.
She served to stay in the final, and in that game, she committed the ultimate tennis frustration when she double-faulted. In that game, she hit three double faults. Two were back-to-back, and the third, the eighth, was that one on championship point. Kenin raised her hand to her mouth in shocked disbelief. Kenin will be ranked 7 in the world, and she's the highest American in the world now, even passing Serena Williams. She feels her determination and fight are becoming her biggest weapons, and she's also the lowest-ranked player to win since 2007. Craig Gabriel, VOA Sports, Melbourne.
Thanks, Craig. We enjoyed your reporting throughout the Australian Open. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In European club football, it's been a dominating season for top-of-the-table Liverpool in the Premier League. The Reds of Liverpool are rolling towards the trophy with 16 consecutive victories and 25 matches without a defeat this season. An Egyptian star helped spark Liverpool to its latest victory, as we hear now from Prince Nesta. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Egyptian playmaker Mo Salah scored twice as Liverpool beat Southampton 4-0 to move 22 points clear at the top of the English Premier League. Liverpool stayed unbeaten after 25 games, as it marches towards a first championship title in 30 years. Goals from new signings Steven Bergwijn and Heung-Min Son did the damage, as Tottenham secured a 2-0 win against Manchester City. Chelsea also failed to close the gap on third place Leicester City, but didn't lose further ground, as the two teams played out an entertaining 2-2 draw at the King Power Stadium. Antonio Rudiger headed in Mason Mount's corner at the back post just 1 minute into the second half to give Frank Lampard's men the lead. But Harvey Barnes' deflected shot found its way past Willy Caballero to draw the Foxes level. Things would get worse for Chelsea another 10 minutes later, when Ben Chilwell gave Leicester City the lead by finding the net from Yuli Tillman's cross, before Antonio Rudiger stepped up for the Blues, scoring a brilliant header from Mount's wide free kick to draw the Blues level.
Prince, while fans of Liverpool have a lot to cheer about this season, I guess you might say supporters of the Gunners of Arsenal are frustrated over a string of draws.
Sonny, the Gunners' dreadful run of form continued against Burnley as they were held to their fourth successive Premier League draw at Turf Moor. A 0-0 stalemate brought the campaign total to a staggering 13 draws in 25 Premier League outings. Sonny, no side in Premier League history has recorded that many stalemates at this stage, and is the first time that has happened in the top flight since Manchester United in the 1980-1981 campaign. Actually, the Gunners' tally of 6 victories after 25 league matches is their lowest since the 1912-1913 season. Manchester United's new signing Bruno Fernandes was also in action as the Laguna Socias side struggled to a goalless draw against Wolves at Old Trafford. United's winless run in the league has extended to 3 games, with the side not managing a win since beating bottom of the table Norwich in January.
Prince, let's go to France now. I see where PSG posted another impressive victory.
Yeah, Paris Saint-Germain moved 12 points clear at the top of the French league after thrashing Montpellier 5-0 with goals from Pablo Sarabia, Angel Di Maria, a freak on goal from Daniel Congri, Lavin Kuzawa, and French footballer of Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe. Mbappe was furious to be replaced by Mauro Icardi in the second half, and even trying to shrug off manager Thomas Tuchel, who was trying to speak to him, and then brushed off a coach who tried to hand him a jacket before skulking to his seat on the bench. PSG visits Nantes in the French league on Tuesday. Second place Marseille were held to a goalless draw by Bordeaux, while Nigerian international Victor Osimhen scored an 80th minute penalty as Lille came from behind to beat Strasbourg 2-1. The goal was his 11th in the French league this season and his 16th in 32 appearances across all competitions.
Prince, let's go to Spain now. Another record breaker for Real Madrid's French coach of Algerian descent, Zinedine Zidane, who now has won 129 matches, eclipsing Mourinho's record.
Yes, indeed, Sonny. Zinedine Zidane clinched his 129th victory in the clash with Atletico Madrid to become Real Madrid's coach with the third most wins in the club's history. The Frenchman moves ahead of Mourinho, who accumulated 128 wins, and now only Del Bosque with 133, and Miguel Munoz with 357 sit ahead of him. French striker of Algerian descent Karim Benzema scored as Real snatched a 1-0 win against Atletico Madrid, keeping hold of their top spot in La Liga. Barcelona starlet Ansu Fati became the youngest player to score a brace in La Liga with his 2 goals in the first half of the 2-1 victory against Levant. The Guinea-Bissau-born attacker, aged 17 years and 94 days, struck in the 30th and 31st minute at Camp Nou to surpass the record set by Real Zaragoza's Yuanmi Jimenez in 2010. And in Italy, Belgian striker of Congolese descent Romelu Lukaku scored twice as Inter Milan won at Udinese to maintain the pressure on Juventus at the top of Serie A. The former Manchester United forward has now scored 16 league goals since moving to Italy last summer. He has scored 20 for Inter Milan in all competitions. Inter remains second in the table, 3 points behind Juve, who beat Fiorentina 3-0 in San Siro. Cristiano Ronaldo scored 2 penalties for Juve to take his tally to 10 goals in his last 6 games, before Matthias De Ligt then headed in a third in injury time. And Prince Nesta, on the sunny side of sports. Back to you, Sunny.
Thanks, Prince. Samson Omale joins us now with a package of African football news. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings to you, Sunny. We begin with a look at the quarterfinalists in the CAF Champions League and the CAF Confederations Cup played across various venues on the continent this past weekend. For the first time in the history of the continent's premier club competition, it will be an all-former champions affair when the knockout stages of the 2019-2020 CAF Champions League come to life later this month. In between them, they share 29 Champions League trophies, making this edition's knockout stages one of the most exciting and promising ever. The list include record 8-time champions Al-Ahly of Egypt, their domestic rivals Zamalek and DR Congo Giants, TP Mazembe, who all won the championships 5 times each, who will tag alongside title holders and 4-time champions Ospreys of Tunisia, 3-time winners Raja Casablanca of Morocco, city rivals and 2-time champions Wydad and 1-time winners Etoile du Sahel of Tunisia and Mamelodi Sundowns of South Africa. In the CAF Confederations Cup, Enyimba of Nigeria went on a scoring spree and Zanaco of Zambia defended doggedly on Sunday to book the two CAF Confederations Cup quarterfinals places up for grabs. Victor Umboma scored twice as former African champions Enyimba trounced San Pedro of the Ivory Coast 5-2 in Abidjan to fill the second qualifying place in Group D. Zanaco came from behind to force a 1-1 draw at the Renaissance Bakane of Morocco, who had scored 13 unanswered goals in four previous CAF home matches and finished Group B runners-up. Pyramids and Amasri of Egypt, Bakane and Hassania Agadir of Morocco, Horoya of Guinea and Al Nasir of Libya had secured knockout places before the final match day. The draws for the quarterfinals and the semi-finals in the African equivalent of the UEFA Europa League will be made in Cairo this Wednesday, with group winners and runners-up kept apart. Staying with football news, FIFA is ending its six-month intervention in African soccer governing body CAF after the mission to speed up the reform of football on the continent was successfully completed. CAF's members also agreed to analyze FIFA's set of findings, recommendations and proposals. On Saturday, FIFA's president Gianni Infantino spoke to members at a seminar in Morocco on the development of African football, where he proposed that the African Cup of Nations be held every 4 years rather than two. He also spoke on the project, where he said he wanted to project African football to the top of the world.
The next step will be, of course, from our side, FIFA, CAF, to make this plan more concrete and to look on the financial market to see whether our predictions, which are that it is feasible to mobilize this famous 1 billion, to see whether it is indeed feasible or not, and at which conditions.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Greetings. This is Tony Ibitoye, the media officer of the Super Eagles of Nigeria. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Thanks, Toyin, and sporty greetings to you and the Super Eagles of Nigeria. World Athletics has announced new rules for a Nike running shoe that's been featured in some record-breaking performances. With details, here's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. In October 2019, Kenyan marathon world record holder Eliud Kipchoge entered the history books after he clocked an historic sub-2-hour running time at the INEOS 159 Challenge. However, in the midst of the accolades came criticism that he and athletes like fellow Kenyan Bridget Kosgei, who have clocked record-breaking times, were able to do so because of their running shoes, namely the Nike Vaporfly. The model features three carbon plates and a thicker midsole that manufacturers have suggested could make an athlete faster. At the time of his history-making run, Kipchoge said the shoe merely helps a runner recover faster, and it's the human being that does the actual running. But critics have equated the Vaporfly to doping, and Yanis Pitsladis, a professor of sport and exercise science at the University of Brighton, says according to the data, the Vaporfly does, in fact, help any runner run faster.
Nike's own data, which they've published now, has shown that in some individuals, the benefit in economy is up to 6%. And remember, this is individuals who were testing the shoe. They weren't the individuals that the shoe was designed for.
So as a result, last Friday, World Athletics announced a rule change that will outlaw some Nike Vaporfly running shoes and introduce stricter limits on how future competitive shoes are made. Effective immediately, road shoes must have soles no thicker than 40 millimeters, and instead of three carbon plates, it is allowed only one. And as Professor Pitsladis points out, the new rules will ensure that no shoe is designed to push an athlete beyond their natural ability.
No human is limited, because what they've actually done now is they bypassed human limits. They've bypassed that limit now. So in terms of innovation, there's nothing wrong with the shoe. Where I would argue there is a problem, however, is that that shoe is against the current rules of the sport. And that's where the problem lies. And the consequence of that, and we've been warning about this for some time, is that eventually what we're going to see in the sport is going to be a race between the manufacturers rather than the race between the athletes. Distance running athletics is about the athlete. All of us want to watch a Kenenisa Bekele, a Wilson Kipsang, an Eliud Kipchoge. What we don't want is put a shoe on me or you, and you can run almost as fast as an Eliud Kipchoge can with a normal shoe. That's what we don't want to see, and that's where this has gone.
World Athletics has also stated that from April 30th, any shoe used in competition must have been generally available to the public for 4 months. That rule will be implemented just days after both the 2020 Boston and London marathons. But the current design that is now being sold will be allowed in the upcoming 2020 Olympics, where Eliud Kipchoge will defend his title. Kerry McCarthy is the commissioning editor of Runners World UK. He said he has worn the same shoes Bridget Kosgei wore in last year's Chicago Marathon. And McCarthy says he clocked a personal best in those shoes due to what he calls a pogo effect.
In very simplistic terms, it's almost like a mini pogo stick. You know, a lot of a person's energy is lost when their foot hits the ground. When you're running along, your foot, there's 2.5 times your body weight going through all your lower limbs and your foot. And the longer your foot spends on the ground, the slower you are, basically. These carbon fiber plates effectively push against the ground and help to push your foot off the floor quicker, so that you turn your legs over quicker, you're getting more steps per minute, you're just motoring along quicker with less effort, in effect. I've tried them myself, and I got a PB myself by quite a significant chunk compared to other times when I've got a PB when it's been 30 seconds or a minute, and I got a PB by 8 minutes. You put the shoe on, you're immediately aware that it's different, and you're aware of it the whole time that you're running.
World Athletics has concluded that the performance advantage of the current design could threaten the integrity of the sport, and further research is recommended. We will keep you posted on any updates, sports fans. And that is all from me. Sunny, back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The countdown continues for the Tokyo Olympics, the year's biggest international sporting event. We're now 172 days away to the multi-sports jamboree in Japan. On Sunday, Tokyo cut the ribbon on another new Olympic venue, the Ariake Arena, alongside Tokyo Bay. The arena will be the venue for Olympic volleyball and wheelchair basketball at the Paralympics. Only one new Olympic venue remains to be inaugurated in Japan. That's the swimming arena, which will be ready next month. 8 of the new permanent venues are being built by the Tokyo Metropolitan Government. The new $1.5 billion national stadium opened late last year in Tokyo. It was built by an arm of the Japanese national government. Tokyo Governor Yuriko Koike led the ribbon cutting at the Ariake Arena on Sunday. Officials say the $336 million venue will be used for concerts and sports after the Olympics. Governor Koike praised the venue. She was also asked about the coronavirus and its possible impact on the Olympics. She read in Japanese from a prepared statement, but did not mention the Olympics by name in her reply. There have been no deaths reported in Japan from the viral outbreak in China. And that wraps up the February 3rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to my producer, Mukbil Yabaro. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Hello, this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa Show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hi, this is Larry London inviting you to join me on February 14th for Border Crossings Presents Urban Chart Legends. Some of the biggest names in urban music, jazz, R&B, hip-hop. It's all on one program on one day, February 14th. Michael Jackson, Kendrick Lamar, James Brown, and many more. Tune us in starting at 1500 Universal right here on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the Great Lakes region has a turbulent history marked by conflict at the expense of its citizens. Human rights in the Great Lakes region on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
Rock and roll, America's finest export. Our culture and music of today are permanently indebted to the pioneers who trailblazed this musical tradition. Listen to Border Crossings on February 6th to hear rock's greatest musicians like Jerry Lee Lewis, Buddy Holly, and Elvis Presley, only on The Voice of America.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA, or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world.
Ah.
Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on The Voice of America.